Well, praise the Lord. This is obviously the Christmas season, and I'm here to deliver a Christmas message, but it's a little different, perhaps. And I titled it The Third Option. It'll become very apparent here in a little bit, because last Sunday I actually did one called The Announcement. And it was the announcement of Gabriel, the angel, who came to the earth to announce two major and miraculous events, and that was a very old couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth, who were going to have a child. And that was a miracle in itself. But then Mary was visited by the same angel, and he gave the message that she was going to conceive. And that was the announcement. And so the thing is, we move now to the other phase of the Christmas story. So I want to, first of all, before I get into these scriptures that I've got up here, it's in the same chapter, but I want you to take a look at a couple of things that kind of sets the backdrop to this whole story. And I know a lot of times when we read genealogies in the Bible, we tend to skip over all the begats. Look, I agree with you. Sometimes they're very boring. They seem to be very boring, but they're really not if you dig into it. So let's just read a couple of the begats. So in the first chapter of Matthew, and I think it's verse 15, and it says, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matthan, and Matthan begat Jacob. 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Let's pause there for a moment. Notice there's no begat when it comes between Joseph and Jesus. Why? Joseph was not the father. The father was the Holy Spirit. And so it includes him in the line of David, but simply says Joseph was the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Christ is the Messiah, the one who was coming to save his people. So now we're going to, well, in fact, when I look at this name, Jacob, just so you know, a lot of times sons will be apprentices of their father. In other words, Joseph was a carpenter. And so, how do I know that? Let's look at Matthew 13, I think it's verse 15 or 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? They're talking about Jesus. They're talking about Jesus, and so they're saying, is not this the carpenter's son? Well, Jesus himself was referred to as a carpenter. Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? You see, everybody, or not everybody, but there's some denominations who want to think of Mary as a perpetual virgin. She was not. She had other children. It's listed right here. And that's not including the girls. This is just at least four of the boys and brothers of Jesus Christ. So we don't know how many children necessarily she had, but she had others. So now we're getting into the scripture proper for this message. So let's go to verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. In other words, this is how it happened. This is how it happened. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, in other words, came together in marriage, to consummate the marriage, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Verse 19. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Let's pause there for a moment. Let's think about this situation from Joseph's point of view, and Mary's as well. Obviously, you have to. You have to think about their situation. I know it doesn't mean as much in this day and time of ours, but back then, in that culture, to be found with child while you were just engaged was a scandal. Mary would have been looked upon, and by the way, how are you going to hide it? Eventually, people are going to know. But how are you going to hide it? Well, she couldn't. So when she went to visit Elizabeth, for Elizabeth was already in her sixth month, and I don't know how long she stayed, but when she came there, so she was already with child when she went to visit Elizabeth, but when she came back, she may have been showing by now. What would this do to Joseph? He'd be devastated. What fiance wouldn't be? This is the woman he loves. This is a woman he wants to marry. This is a woman that has been arranged. Back then, marriages were arranged. And the parents would have already negotiated everything, and Joseph would have paid likely a dowry to show that he could take care of this woman, Mary. Actually, she was probably a very young girl, maybe in her 14, 15, 16, somewhere around there. That would be common, folks. Still is in some cultures today. That's common. But the thing is, the dads, and you would too, right? You would think about your daughter getting ready to get married. Well, most dads would be up in the future son-in-law's face. Okay, what you going to do? What's your plans? What's your future? Where are you going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Most of us don't even know that. We don't know what we're going to be. I remember when I asked for Deronda's hand, and yes, I did. I asked for it. I was shaking in my boots. I was shaking in my boots because, you know, you look at Glenn, what I saw was this big, stocky man who could probably rip my head off in a moment. And I'm like, Glenn, That's probably how I sounded. I don't know, only you can tell me. But the thing is, that kind of thing was a serious, and that's what I'm getting at, it was a serious moment. But then to find out that the one you asked to marry you already is with child, it'd break your heart. And not only break your heart, but it would create a scandal. And Nazareth, by the way, was think of Parisburg maybe, or maybe something smaller than Parisburg. And it was just a village, really. And you know how word travels. Everybody's telling everybody, and who knows how it gets built up until the end. But the thing is, Joseph had to do something. He had to do something to make this right, make this right for him and make this right for her. Now, let's think about the first option. What he could have done was took her out in public and shamed her. Before everybody. It'd be like if I brought somebody here and I told you guys, every one of you, what this person did. Shame on that person. How dare they do this? That's considered adultery. She should be killed. Wow. That's what Joseph could have done. Or he could have actually just simply made a public example of her and divorced her, and that'd be it. But he'd ruin her reputation. His is already ruined. His is already ruined. You'll see why in just a moment. But Joseph was not that kind of guy. See, I think there were some things special about Mary and Joseph. And I know they were very humble. They were very obedient people. But Joseph was a just man. In other words, he was fair. He was righteous. The word just comes from the word justice. He liked justice. So what would have been the appropriate justice for him and Mary? After having his heart broken and his life just torn to shreds, what would be the right course of action? Well, his second option was to divorce her, but in private. In a small town, that's kind of hard to do, isn't it? Just because he divorced her in private, everybody would have already known about it. See, you got to understand, when they got engaged, espoused, it says, the public knew. It's kind of like us. We put it in the paper to let people know. Well, the public already knew that she was engaged. And now the public knows that she's already with child. And the public's going to know when Joseph's no longer hanging around, when he divorces her. But still, rather than do it in public, he wanted to keep down as much contention as possible, and he wanted to put her away privately. That was his second option. The first option was to have her stoned. The second option would have been just simply divorce her in secret, in private. So let's move on now to verse 20. So you know this was on his mind. It'd be on your mind, I'm sure. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. In verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let's pause. It's like the song that she did silent praise to just now. Come see what the Lord has done. Here she's going to have a child that was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Now I can pretty much, not necessarily, but I can pretty much guarantee that when Joseph asked who the father is, and she said God, how quickly would he have been to believe that? I think not so quick. It took an angel to visit Joseph in a dream to convince him that she didn't do anything wrong and that it was okay. Don't be afraid to take her as a wife. Big things, folks. And then 22, verse 22 says this. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now you might think, well, wait a minute, that's Emmanuel. What about Jesus? Well, Jesus is a Greek name. Is the Greek name of the name Joshua. And said in Hebrew, it's Yeshua. Joshua, Yeshua, equal Jesus, equals God with us. So the thing is, all of this was done to fulfill this prophecy by Isaiah, Isaiah 7 and 14, Isaiah 7 and 14. It prophesied that a virgin shall be with child, exactly what the angel Gabriel, in the well, probably the angel, it was probably Gabriel, we don't know. But there was an angel that visited Joseph in a dream and told him, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It took that to convince him. And was he convinced? Well, of course. So verse 24 says this. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Let's pause here. This is incredible. To me, this is very incredible. Joseph was, not by his asking, was put in a very difficult position. He had two options to deal with his fiancée. Either have her stoned for being unfaithful, or to put her away privately, which would still ruin her life. And here we come to the third option. Or he could marry her still. He could marry her. Now, what's this going to be like to marry a woman who everybody thinks has been unfaithful? Well, this is likely the gossip that went around about Joseph and Mary. So Joseph decides based on this dream, he's compelled to go ahead and marry Mary. Now people are going to think what? Ah, this must be Joseph's kid. Those two have been fooling around, and they have not been living the life. You ever heard that? Church people say that about other people all the time. They're not living the life. They may be praising God, but they're not living the life. That's what people were probably saying about Mary and Joseph. They're not living a righteous life. Oh, yeah, they pretend. They're hypocrites, you know. They pretend to love God, but they really don't. Just look how they're behaving. Right here in public, of all things. You see what kind of life and gossip they would have had to endure? It wouldn't have been a pretty engagement, and it wouldn't have been a pretty marriage. And there's no indication that Joseph moved out of town to get away from all this. In fact, the indication is that when Caesar Augustus decided to tax all the people to create this census, he made everybody go to their hometown. I don't know about you, but what if you lived over in California and then moved over here and you had to go back to California just to pay taxes? Now, California might like that because they love taxes. But the thing is, you would have to travel a long ways. And so he had to travel to the city of his lineage, which was Bethlehem. And that would have been a good distance. And I'm not sure that Mary had to go with him, but she did go with him. And when she went with him, of course, she was great with child, the scripture says. Well, y'all know what that means. She looked like a tick about to pop. And she was going to have a baby, and it was coming any day. I don't know about you, but I lived through, what, 3 false labors before the real thing came along. You talking about nerve-wracking. I can't imagine in those days what it would be like. Joseph, it's time, it's time. You know, after 4 or 5 hours, well, no, next time maybe. That's the way it was with us. And we had to go all the way to Blacksburg. We lived over here in Giles. We had to go all the way to Blacksburg every time. And then, I think it wasn't the 4th time, 3rd or 4th, they were going to send us back home. And by now, you know, I'm like, come on, dude. Really? You know, and it wasn't her fault. The contractions, I don't know what they call it now, but it's those pre-contractions that you have. Yeah, Braxton Hicks. It's to get you ready. We didn't know anything about that. Anyway, we thought the real thing was happening, and sure enough, she was there, and they were going to send us back home, but then they came in and they said, well, doctor says wait an hour. We waited an hour. Well, we may send you home, but doctor says wait another hour. Waited another hour. Oh, my. It went on like that for a long time. And then finally, the contractions were starting for real. 13 hours. Bless her heart. When Aaron was born, it was the best thing in my life. It was such a beautiful sight. They put the baby in Deronda's arms, and she just lovingly held it. And I can imagine Mary holding Jesus like this, just holding it. Now, Mary wouldn't have said this, but Deronda went, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I was just crying and all this stuff. And she just lovingly looked back up at me and says, I don't want to have any more. Am I telling the truth? That's right. And I said, honey, we'll talk about that later. And as you know, we have a son named Jason. We had more. One more. But that was it. No, it was a blessed event for us. But for Mary and Joseph, it would have been a very hard thing. And he had to be convinced by an angel of the Lord. Don't you love it when God will help to convince you what to do? And so verse 25 says this. Verse 25. So Joseph gets up out of bed, and he goes and he marries Mary, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. He didn't know her in the sense of having that intimate relationship with her. She stayed a virgin until the Lord was born. All of this to me is an incredible Christmas message. And the reason we refer to it as Christmas, you know, is it's Christ Mass. Mass is a Catholic term to where they worship the coming of the Lord, the first advent, as we call it, the first coming. And so this was the first coming of Jesus Christ, Christ Mass. And so even though we don't know when, we don't know what day that happened, we do know when he was crucified, but this we don't know. But there's nothing wrong to celebrate the coming of the Lord. In fact, I celebrate, not necessarily by dinners or parties or anything like that, but I'm celebrating the coming of the Lord again. And I hope today is a celebration of that. The Lord is coming. And the Lord is coming soon. Now, what's interesting about this Christmas message is that when God calls us to hard things, I don't know what God is calling you for. I think you should really seek Him and ask Him, God, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to be? Listen carefully. Because when He calls us to hard things, doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Do you think Mary and Joseph's life was easy after they got married? No, his reputation was ruined. They were already marked as being hypocrites, I'm sure. That's how religious people are, right? We pick out somebody, we think we know how all this came out, that the two were just fooling around and have a baby, and now he has to marry her, you know, in days gone by that used to be called a shotgun wedding. Now Joseph has to marry her, but now their reputation is ruined. Joseph being a carpenter, his reputation, what do you think that did for his business? You know, here he is trying to find work, and people know how he is, and they're like, well, I'm not going to give my pearls to the dogs, you know, cast them before swine. That's how they thought about it, by the way. We'll talk about that scripture later on. But the thing is, Joseph would have had a hard time. Mary had a hard time. The gossip rumor mill and all that was just going strong, and they had to endure all that. And even after Christ was born, you don't think people remembered? People remember. They know about these things. So when God calls us to hard things, just know it, that it's not always going to be easy. We have to really struggle to look to God's wisdom to how to get through this. You know, always consider another option. Joseph thought he had two. The third option was to get married and raise baby Jesus until he got grown to a certain amount. We don't know what age, but probably before Jesus was 12, that Joseph probably had already passed away. So Jesus, in a sense, had to become head of the family. That's the way it was. 12 years old, 13 years old, Jewish boys became men at a very young age. So when God calls you to hard things, don't always think it's going to be easy, but rely on God to get you through it. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the message of the Christmas season. Lord, I know the scripture doesn't call it Christmas, but we look at it as such. And Lord, for this reason, we celebrate this time of year, we celebrate the coming of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For Jesus came to save His people from their sins. And Lord, that's what you did for us. When He grew up and He gave His life on the cross, and then when He raised after the third day, we now have access to heaven through Jesus Christ. I pray that everyone here knows this. And Lord, if anybody here needs prayer, needs salvation, or just needs to come back to the Lord, impress upon them, Lord, to come. We give you praise in all this. Amen. Amen.